time I saw her, she was woke. You know where Bernie Sinclair's home? You know in Jarrettsville?
Mm-hmm.
This woman I told you, the lady I was talking to yesterday about, my cousin, she lived right across the road from where the old schoolhouse used to be.
Mm-hmm.
She's 2 years older than I am, so she knows about Jarrettsville. She didn't know anything about Harford County. I said, well, they won't talk to you about Jarrettsville if you talk to you at all.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't know that anybody's... That you, the lady I was talking to said you had to go through a process of getting signed something before you'd interviewed them anyway. Which we signed the paper and sent back in.
Mm-hmm.
But then I saw her come walking up the walk there. She was new to the neighborhood, never gone before. And I remember just about her long curl and back the big black bow ribbon on the back of her hair. And I got my eye on her. I wasn't about 12 years old. She kind of took my eye. And you know, she's the only girl I ever went with.
Is that right?
Doggone.
Wasn't that awful?
I've been married 63 years. And I still think she's pretty nice.
Do you remember? Do you remember when you first saw him?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when he first saw you?
Well, yes, I saw him in school there, but didn't bother much about him. Didn't pay as much attention as he did. My boys around there.
Well, now, were you both born here in Jarrettsville?
No, I'm from, do you know where Rutledge is?
Yeah, I am.
I'm from...
Yeah, she's. She'll tell you where she's.
Born and raised down in Rutledge.
Hmm.
On a farm.
And let's see, what were your parents' names?
Charles and Rachel.
And they, what kind of things did they have on their farm?
Well, just. Regular things, what would you say, John?
Well, regular grain and hay. Mm-hmm. Grain and hay were the things.
Regular
right?
Things.
They
wheat.
They kept cattle. But they were just
horses.
They were just a general farm. Well, they farmed with horses.
Mm-hmm.
You farmed the horses and went to church with horses and all that stuff. Let's see. We didn't get a car here. 1915, got a Model T Ford, and there was only about a couple cars went to our church. I think they got a car down there a year or so later. And no, we were back in the sticks. So,
we weren't back in the sticks.
but
we were on the farm and had a big stone house and.
It's still
room.
It's still there,
huh?
You know where Bedford's are? Yeah.
Let's see. Is that near the Scarfs?
Well, you go through Scarf Post Office. You were coming out of Bel Air. You come to Crossroads,
mm-hmm.
and you're going down through Rutledge,
mm-hmm.
and then Bedford's were that people that built all that stuff up there from New York down there, before the development. That big development right across where Goodwill Church used to be,
mm-hmm.
that's part of their farm.
Oh.
That big stone house just this side, about a couple of weeks,
We had a nice big stone house.
Did you enjoy growing up on the farm?
You bet I did.
Yeah. I made her visit pleasant.
Of course, he added to it. He'd come down. Well, we had some mighty good times there.
This is nothing to you. Even.
Oh. This is.
Of course, you can't do anything with that, but I was just going to show it to you. Just talk about old stuff.
Boy, yeah.
Abram Slade's Abram, my father was named after, got the slate after his. I don't know whether he was my grandfather or great-grandfather.
Hmm.
There's one paper there, 1880.
Is that right? Huh. Isn't that something? This is the old paper that they wrote on.
Some of it's some of it written in
1860.
No, it was 1800. I saw one of them.
Hmm.
They're really old.
They really are.
They kept pretty good, don't
they? Yes, they did. Huh. Now, where did you go to school out in Rutledge? Did you?
Well, I was just school right in Rutledge. And I could walk to school.
Hmm.
It's a house now.
Is it?
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Then when I got old enough, I came up to Jansville. That's where I met him.
Oh.
There's how they used to write.
Oh, boy.
I don't want them. I'll keep these separate.
Sure. Isn't that something? And let's see. Now, you didn't go to Rutledge School, I guess.
No, I went here to Jarrettsville. You know where, did you know where Vernon Sinclair lived?
Mm.
Well, he lives right there against the, he sold his property to the bank.
Oh, yeah.
He's right there next, just beyond the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And, there was an old school there. I guess it was just a two-room school. I went 1 year
to that.
And then they tore down and built another school. And I don't remember when that thing burned down, but they built a school which preceded this one that's up above Jarrettsville now.
Mm-hmm.
And that they moved out on Friday, and Friday night that old school burned down.
Oh.
And Vernon St. Clair bought the ground later and built this big bungalow, right on the school foundation.
Mm.
As is, I don't think he ever changed the foundation or anything, or did anything to the cellar. The cellar's all concreted,
mm-hmm.
And that's where he doesn't live there now. He's, the building association owns it now.
Mm-hmm.
That property.
Hmm.
And that's where I went to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I graduated from high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 15 years old, and I didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
And more after that.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, was that the Jarrettsville Grammar School? Is that what they called it?
No, it was Jarrettsville High School.
High school.
No, I meant the first school that you said.
I don't know what to call it.
It was more like a grammar school.
Yeah, it wasn't a high school.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure of that, because there was only two teachers there in the two rooms.
Mm.
And I was, of course, see, I was only 6 years old, and I just didn't make much of me what school was like.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being in there, and going to school there. I went through the first and second grade, and there used to be, if you make it, they'd put you through the first and second grade in 1 year. And then I got in a lucky shift. And they put more grades on the ones out that graduated down to seventh grade, put in ninth.
Mm-hmm.
And if they came from another school like she got caught, she came out of seventh grade the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that came from other schools, they stuck them in seventh.
Wow.
She got caught in that deal. I advanced a year, and she just went into the eighth grade. I was never in the eighth grade. Not that I was too smart for just the school plan. I was just lucky. Just got me one grade out.
Mm-hmm.
Soon. Because anybody, I usually tell them the whole story, but because if somebody thinks he's kind of smart, well, I tell him, heck, I graduated out of 11th grade and I was 15 years old. then I don't tell him the full story.
So you have to watch him.
Well, I think if it's blowing a little, I like to take him down. If they're not, I'll tell him the whole story.
So I graduated from there.
I graduated 10, she graduated 11.
Was it very hard going to school? Were they strict on you, or did you learn
a lot? Well, I was a good girl. They didn't have to bother me, but it was different.
You know,
he was bad.
You know, I got through school without getting one lick. Miss Mary Smith tapped me on the shoulder with a pointer one time. Caught me all the time, and I.
That's it. He just didn't get caught.
Oh,
he was bad enough.
I know one time we had a school teacher there that he was lazy. And he roomed in the house. Do you remember where Dalton's house used to be there by the store? I don't know how much you know about Jerusalem Bank is now. Well, no, that home hadn't been torn down for a couple of years.
Store.
But the home was right there, joined the school up, and he had rooms there. And he used to say he'd roll over and look out the window and holler at some of the boys to ring the first bell. Then he'd come out in time to get to ring the second bell. Then he'd slip back home and get a sandwich, we all saw, during 15 minutes of recess, because we had it. 10:30 we had a 15-minute recess, 12 o'clock an hour, and 2:30 we had another 15-minute recess. That was our day then. And so one morning after the two downstairs rooms always met with the upstairs for morning exercise. So he told us whoever rang that bell up there this morning would stay in the morning and in the evening recess for a week. So the rest of it is going back downstairs to the room. I said, when's that term start? He says, oh, it's you, was it? But a friend of mine who we were in 11th grade then. And we both been together on it, and I said, it was after 9 o'clock when it rang it anyway. So he said we'd stay in the morning, evening, after recess. So when that time come to that term start, and the rest of them marched out, we just got up and marched out with him. He never said a word to us, because there was a couple of trustees didn't like him, and I sure'd have gone to them with the tail if he tried to keep us in. So that's, I'm telling you a whole lot of stuff. I'm telling you a lot of stuff. I don't know what I'm telling you what I want. You gonna register that?
Sure.
See what she just said?
Oh, well, we know. We
you
know
don't
better.
Have to register everything.
Say,
do you?
No.
If you talk, you hit that thing.
Am I talking right into it?
Yeah.
Well, that kind of stuff, though.
Yes. What about your farm now? What was it like? Is this the farm that you grew up on?
Yeah. Two or three generations ahead of yeah, that bunch we showed you out there, their grandfathers or grandparents of some state. Remember where in some of those papers when I'm talking about leaving his will and leaving his slave girl Sarah to a certain member of the family.
Oh.
No, Well, we were just a general farm. I mean, we raised all kinds of corn, wheat, oats, and then hay, and fed our cattle and horses. Of course, the remainder of it was sold. I have hauled the hay to Bel-Air and a four-horse wagon. Pulled in there. There used to be an avenue between Richardson's drugstore and Calvin Appleton's livery stable. Pulled down through there and forked the hay off by hand. All the hay was forked by hand then.
Mm.
And but then we kept cattle. And then this sawmill, you see, it sat right down here, just where that new road is.
Oh.
Our lawn came this side of the old sycamore tree.
Uh-huh.
And there was then about 100 and some acres of woodland to the farm, and only about 80 some acres of clearing. And my father, they sawed custom sawing for anybody want to bring logs in and get them sawed. And then he would cut timber in the woods and sell it to anybody wanted them to buy. Or we used to cut a lot of big white oaks for a bridge plank and deliver that on the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's my father standing at the back of the engine where you got the picture there.
Oh, uh-huh.
Back of the engine, and that's my uncle back at the controls of the sawmill.
Huh.
That's a brother that was a flyer and killed in an airplane, mm-hmm. Sitting on the front wheel of the engine.
Mm-hmm.
And that big fellow in white, short white dress there, that's, I'm sitting there.
Oh.
The neighbor, I guess I was about 1 or 2 years old then.
Huh.
But to look at that, isn't that some photography to be that old?
Is. That really is. I'd like to copy that just to have. What's this mechanism? What is that? This the thing on the wheels. What's that?
Well, that's one of the, right there. That is a wheel that the engine was shipped in here to Moncton. It's a station on the. Northern Central Railroad,
mm-hmm.
and they pulled it here, then pulled it down, and then they sawed logs. I mean, took a log 10, 12 feet long, mm-hmm. and sawed it on two sides and put it under there and took these wheels off.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main wheel.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a sawmill back here. Here's mm-hmm. the big flywheel that drove the sawmill.
Mm-hmm.
See, the neighbors would haul these, or anybody want to haul these logs in here and dump them off here,
mm-hmm.
and they'd be rolled on the sawmill, and the lumber hauled back and mm-hmm. piled back in here. That was just right straight across the road there.
Uh-huh. Were there a lot of woods and things to do the lumbering in, get the wood?
Oh yes, it was an unusual place. I mean, it was about 105 acres of wood. Timber, not all good timber, I mean, because when you go in the woods, it's not all good timber to manufacture.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still about 50-some acres of wood left in the place, because some of it we cut off, and then my father sold, and,
mm-hmm.
but we still have a good bit there yet.
What was it like growing up on your farm? Did you have a lot to do, or?
We each had our jobs. Fortunately, after I got a little older, I didn't mind working on it. And I like to be busy. And we got into some trouble too, I guess. Brother, the fellow on the front wheel of that tractor, he manufactured, got the gear of an old milk wagon and built a body on it and rigged it up so he could sit the back end of it and steer. We'd take that thing up the barn, up on the barn drive, and a whole bunch of us get on there and coast clear down here into the into the lawn. This old big maple tree standing out here in the right along the lane, I don't know if you can see it from now or not, but that's been bent over by that old promise so many times, so you know that's been a while back.
Mm. Well, what was Jarrettsville like growing up in here and going to school? Was it a it wasn't as big as it is now, and as many people, was it?
Oh, no.
There was none.
Quite a difference.
You can see, look through that window and see the top of the big white building.
Uh-huh.
That was the old creamery. That's where we used to haul our milk. There, I believe the front porch on that thing is still the front porch that used to be there. You drove down there and drove under a roof next to this porch. You set your cans of milk in there, and they dumped them in a big tank sitting on the scales, mm-hmm. and weighted up, and then they'd pay you so much for that milk, and they'd skim it and make butter, and then haul the boxes of butter to the railroad with a horse and wagon, and some of them went to town with a store wagon. Right where the garage is, filling station, down in the center, if you know, that used to be where the local store is. Mm. If you want to shut that thing off, I'll show you where these where those things are.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, you can just stop it in.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I thought you might say something about it.
Well,
I don't want to miss anything.
Well, I don't.
You're full of information. I wouldn't want to miss anything.
It's full of that.
I'm looking for that.
What do you remember about Jarrettsville? Was it a bigger place than Rutledge was?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, yeah, more going on there. And my sister lived so low for Jarrettsville, and I stayed there with them.
Oh.
I'd go home weekends mostly, but that's where I stayed and graduated, and then stayed home on the farm. So I had a very good life. I was grown up.
Mm-hmm. Did say at home? Did your mother train you how to do a lot of the things that, you know, a homemaker would have to, you know how to do things?
Oh, yes.
I can answer that.
Yes, indeed. I was brought up to be a home cook and so forth.
Huh.
She had a sister who lived right here in Jarrettsville.
Miss Kurtz?
Former undertakers.
Uh-huh.
You haven't been there
yet. No. Uh-huh.
Yes, she's right here in Jacksonville.
Hmm. And that's the sister you stayed with?
Huh?
Is that the sister?
No. The one I stayed with was older, and she passed away several years ago.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
So just the two of us then.
Mm-hmm.
But she's been very sick, but she's home now.
Hmm. So she knew how to cook pretty good and sew?
Yes, sir. She's a good cook, a good housekeeper.
I don't know. I wonder sometimes.
I'd never kept her 63 years if you hadn't.
Well, I guess there was a lot of work for, you know, not only you, but for you too on a big farm like this.
There was. Yeah. I had men to cook for, and some of them, they slept here and take care of the room and everything. It was a lot of work that I got into.
We always boarded the sawmill hands. They hand and help that day came in time for breakfast. They got three meals. And they worked for $1 a day. You wouldn't want to try that, would you?
Mm-mm. I don't think so.
You had to feed them three meals.
Mm.
So that was.
The hand that she kept here, or any of them working here, we'd have to get out and go to the barn, and we'd come back to eat breakfast shortly after 6 o'clock. And then we'd be out and going again to 12, near the old dinner bell rings, and we used to have one old mule. When the bell rings, he'd go, that's the way he, if we didn't happen to hear the bell,
he'd run you now.
Give it on.
Well, you raised a lot of things on the farm that you were able to eat yourself, did you? Didn't you?
Oh, yes. Always raised our own hogs. I mean, more than what we'd eat. I mean, we butchered them. I remarked to my wife sometime about how would you go bring the hogs up, and then we'd work them up, make up the hams and shoulders, trim them up, and sausage and scraps and pudding. And she has, I know one year, when she got done canning, and canning the butcher in two, I mean the sausage and stuff, we put in jars and process, mm-hmm. had over 600 quarts of stuff.
Oh boy.
Put in the cellar.
And you know that meant a lot of work.
Now, if the company came to see you, and going to stay with something, you think, my Lord, I got nothing for supper. All you had to do then was go down the cellar. and it was there. I mean, the general farm was like that. Now, I don't mean we were any special there like that, but I just have to remember one time that they had 600 quarts of food. And then the hams and bigger pieces of meat would be hanging out here in the smokehouse. And we'd make a little fire under them and put a little sawdust on it so it'd make it smoke, and smoke them, and they would hang there. I mean, they'd keep till the end of the season and butcher the game.
But I mostly had a woman to help. I couldn't do all that alone.
Sounds like you need help.
Yeah, hard to get along with. That woman, one woman only stayed 17 years.
Wasn't too bad then, was it?
No.
Well, I guess she stayed longer, but she got married and went off and made a home of her own. She still living too.
Well, they were the good old days. Mm-hmm. And they haven't too many complaints.
Well, now, what were you able to sell? Where would you go to sell?
Well, it depends on, I mean, sometimes, for instance, your grain, maybe you'd sell some locally, or then you'd haul it to a mill. There was a mill right down here to, I don't even know where they were, I can show it to you, in that Jasper book.
Oh, is it in here? Okay.
There's a picture of an old mill in there. We'd haul it down there, and they would have for grain in the bags. They just put the bags out on the ridge. They'd drop a chain down out of the second floor, and you'd put it around a couple of bags of wheat. And they'd pull them up, pull them in, drop it down again. Then for train or corn, you had to have a compound container to and load your corn into the pulled it up. All with the water power, big old water wheel, do the work. And then later years, well, we got to shelling corn, any way you could. The haze, we sold it later, locally, or else there was the custom balers. Fellows that thrashed for you would also have balers. And they'd bale your hay, then you could store it or haul it to the railroad, load it on a car at some local railroad station. All hard work. You could big old bales then weighed about 120 pounds. And because it was transient bale, they were bigger. Milk was sold right down here at this house right here at the hardware store. You see the old creamer down there right now.
Huh. What was that creamer called?
Well, I don't know. I guess the Jarrett School was really the only name it had. Now there was a man who owned it, the name of Bob Hanna, and then Jarrett Brothers bought it. Jarrett Brothers ran the store, and they also owned what was the old hotel, which was where the telephone exchange formula was located.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was sold again, and that man ran the creamer for a while. Then he got milk trucks, and that's when the shipping milk to Baltimore started for this area.
Mm-hmm.
He got a couple trucks, and the farmers would haul the milk down to him at Jarrettsville. And then they go up the road toward Steer Creek for a while. And then if the roads got muddy, you had to haul your milk to Jarrettsville and meet him down there because he could travel, because a long time back, these roads were, the road used to come in through here, this side of that big sycamore tree, cut off a lot of our yard.
Oh.
We didn't have any yard. And it was dirt road. When they paved this road at first. You're on the hook now, are you?
Mm-hmm.
You remember when I tell you when the first concreted this road. You said you were on the hook now. Because I don't care if you don't care, but I mean, I thought this was... You remember we used to leave the guard, they were when they... They just graded this road for a mile up the road from Jarrettsville.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it was almost impassable. I mean, they graded all out, then they hauled in with big heavy trucks and of course cut it all up. And it wasn't fit to run a car over harder, so we'd leave a car to Jarrettsville and walk home. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason I remember the time, you remember Catherine, the oldest daughter, what is she now, 59 or something like that? She'd walked home at night ahead of us in these little trucks, and she was, what, 3 or 4 years old? So it'd be about 55 years since this road was concreted, not this road,
mm-hmm.
but the roads on this side was concreted. Up to that time, we had whatever the Lord gave us, mud, and bad roads, or really good roads, and so on.
Was it hard to get around when they weren't paved?
Well, they weren't all cut up with big trucks either.
Mm-hmm.
See, that made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because some of the dirt roads, we used to be able to race each other with horse and buggies when we get out on the road and have a horse race of our own.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Generally, they were kept in pretty good shape. They'd scrape them with big old ranch road scrapers. I guess no expect you ever saw one of the old ranch scrapers with big old blades that's cross over it, and the man stands up on the back. You hook a team of horses for it to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And they did use tractors some in later years, but they used to drive across here with six horses strung out. So I guess you ever saw a six horse team, did you?
Mm-hmm.
You come around too late. And they can lower this blade where they want it,
mm-hmm.
and set it at an angle, and they pick the dirt up and dump it out here, or level in the rough places and so on. And then they haul stone out and fill a place maybe 8 feet wide, for as long as you need it, throw the feet stone off the heels in there, and then sit down there. Sledgehammer and break those stone up, throw some dirt on top of it, and you have a piece of pike.
Where was your home?
I live in Bel Air.
Oh, you've always lived in Bel Air?
Uh-huh.
Well,
yeah,
you're not far away.
Did you get a chance, had you, as growing up, what do you remember about, would you go into Bel Air for certain things that you needed?
We didn't go into Bel Air so much.
No? Where would you go to buy things, like at a little store just...
We had a store
well,
just
you see?
A little ways from our own home.
And
then got so we would come up to Jarrettsville and they built up some, you know,
mm-hmm.
get things we couldn't get down there.
Mm.
Well, the store right there close to her went to town every week with horses and wagons.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, then she, that was one uncle, and then another uncle down on the Jarrettsville site was there too, so she was between two stores. And you could order things that you wanted in town, the storekeeper would get for you,
mm-hmm.
if it's something that you wasn't carried locally. But, you know, these things were a general store. I mean, you could come here, go in those stores and find the thing you want, from
mm-hmm.
cents worth of candy to sugar. You get the sugar in there with a barrel, molasses with a barrel, have a big crank on, turn that old stiff molasses and wind her out in your gallon jug. And if you wanted some clothes or pants, work pants or stuff like that, they had them upstairs. And if they wanted a piece of cloth made of grass, this dress, it was on the other side behind that counter. I mean, pretty much everything you wanted was there. And besides, well, the people that weren't farming and raising hogs would buy a hog and have them killed. I mean, they didn't have to bring us all the stuff to the store.
Mm.
You know, I walked to Jarrett's room with my father lots of nights. He had a great big basket of eggs and I had a small one. And they'd carry home, I guess, a week's grocery in that bag without any basket without any trouble, because they just had what they didn't have at home, they get most of it at the store. That's
mm-hmm.
where you live. You got your shoes, your overshoes, your arctics, your felt boots, or just... And usually you wanted, they had it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was two stores in the village. The other one was right up here where the new bank is, up in the other store.
Mm-hmm.
And the local stores were fairly close. So
mm-hmm.
One down to Cooktown, one up to Rocks, and any direction you want to go. And once in a while we'd catch the train to Baldwin and go to Baltimore and shop a little bit, but those occasions were rare.
Mm-hmm.
Then when the automobile came along, that made things different to get around.
Mm-hmm.
You could run to the store then and go get an unusual one to go to Baltimore and on the day shopping. Back when I bought her ring there, I went to town on the drove the sleigh to Baldwin and got on the train and went down there and got it all fixed up, wanted to make sure of her.
He was a bad boy.
So you put that on there, couldn't you?
Is it down
now.
There? Well, that's all right. He was.
Well, what did Jarrettsville have besides the two general stores?
Well, you know where the Kurtz's home is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, right across the road there was an old hardware store. And he also was a blacksmith too, but he used to run a store in conjunction with it. Then he quit the shoeing and went to store business entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see this store was here, the one of Dalton's, and then up where Waters' place is now, they had a blacksmith which they converted into a store later.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there used to be a blacksmith shop right up here at the next place, not where the county garage is, but just the place the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where he went for repairs and horseshoeing and everything like that. In winter time, there was some change in times on you, but in winter time, back when the roads were icy and you were using horses, you had to sharpen the toes and heels on the shoe of a horse.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to take them to the blacksmith shop to get that done because they had to heat them. And I've known him to have horses tied around there all day, getting them off.
Mm.
I know one year I wanted a pair of horses sharpened. I took them to shop at daylight, tied them up, and then came back and got breakfast and then went up again because I had to be the first one there. I wanted to get these horses sharpened up so I could take them for a slow ride, sleigh ride.
You know where the Kurt's home is?
Uh-huh.
Ms. Kurt's is my sister's. Did you know that?
Hmm.
And then where the funeral home, that was a Methodist church. That was a Northern Methodist. That's where she went.
Uh-huh.
And the church, the stone church down there, which was burned down, that's in that book too.
Uh-huh.
And it was a Southern Methodist. So got her out of that Northern Methodist and got her straightened out.
What was the difference? Why did they have two Methodist churches? You know what?
Way back before, they had some difference of opinion. I mean, I don't mean it fell out, but they had some different views. But they had two. But they've combined now. I mean, they combined way into after we've been going down here for a long time. I don't know. But it's just one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Well, now what about the Jarrett Manor? Was that still right there on the corner?
Yes. That's it.
Yeah.
That's looking at it,
mm-hmm.
not from this road, but mm-hmm. from this other road.
Oh.
Now, yep. No, that's torn down. And then this big market, or whatever you might call it. Right here on the corner, you can see all that.
Yeah.
Now that's where that house stood.
Mm. Now was it always a private residence or?
Yeah. Yes.
Nice home.
Family built that. That was a fine old home. Had a circular staircase. You could start at the foot and just keep it going. Never break. You get on the rail up the top and come down the hoop. Never have a break.
Huh. Well, that's a beautiful home. It's too bad they tore it down.
Well, it was old and
love
was,
that home.
And the brick, some of them are getting soft and it's leaking through the brick.
Mm.
It had been standing there for a long time.
Hmm. Well, now was in back of that was where you said the Jarrettsville Hotel was?
No, the Jarrettsville was diagonally across the square.
Oh.
See, you got a square here. Here's Jarrett Manor, and here's what Dr. Jarrett used to live right across the road from Dr. Manor,
mm-hmm.
Jarrett Manor. And right down here,
mm-hmm.
which on both corners was Mr. Tommy Jarrett, and that place has been torn down within the last year or so. Not the house he had, but one that his son-in-law replaced it. Then right across the road is where the hotel was, right there where the far company's parking area is.
Mm-hmm.
It was right in that corner, right close to the road.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. That was the old hotel.
Hmm. Did many people stay there? Was this a stopover?
They'd stop for lunch. I don't believe as many of them stayed overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Drummers, you know, the old drummers used to come with their horse and buggy, you know, they maybe come out of town, come to the railroad and hire a horse and buggy to load the stable at them and drive around the neighborhood, and they used to stop there for dinner, but I don't think they kept many of them overnight.
Hmm.
Now,
and then let's see, there's quite a bit of churches around in this area too, I guess. Besides the Old Brick Baptist Church and the Bethel.
Well, see, old Salem's gone, and the Asbury Church, that's the Northern Methodist, has been converted into a funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jarrettsville Methodist used to be Calvary.
Mm.
The old church had burned down. There's pictures in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
Now it says under some of these entertainments, the Lyceums. Do you remember them?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, it was a community organization that they usually started off, they'd have a business meeting, wouldn't they?
I don't know, anything, more about that, I'd go sometimes, if he'd take me.
Neighborhood business, I mean, things like that were brought up,
mm-hmm.
And then when they got to, then they'd have a debate, like two or three men on the side, or, you know, and they'd have just an entertainment, they'd have a singer, or somebody's singing solo, and then they'd get through this debate. They'd work at that for some time.
Hmm.
And it was something to go to because we had nothing. There was not much entertainment,
mm-hmm.
in your reach back in the horse and buggy days. You had to be do more of that yourself. I mean, some of the people around the neighborhood, they had fringe parties and card parties. I know my mother and father belonged to one. There was eight of them, and they'd meet at one another's house and play things. And that's where the entertainment depended on yourself. You wouldn't depend on the outside anyway. Mm-hmm. It didn't cost you anything if you got there.
That was lots of fun too, you know, get different couples in,
Then you always have some read after you got some playing cards.
That's a good part.
What about the jousting? Was that a big thing around here?
I worked at jousting for about 10 years.
Long time.
Yeah. I finally got a big professional, but I wasn't a good one. I never won the first money in the jousting tournament once in my life. And that happened to be a tournament where they wasn't paying as big prizes as they used to. Some of them offered better prizes, you know. You had to pay $1 for the privilege of riding. And, St. Mary's Church up there used to have one. That used to be about the biggest thing. And then some of the large organizations, or sometimes an individual would have a tournament that's enough for the riding, and they'd offer a prize, maybe $25 for the first prize was a pretty good prize, maybe $25, $20, they'd give away about $100, and then they'd, for the amateurs, people who'd never won a professional tournament, would ride as an amateur, and they could crown the queen of love and beauty. They could have get some kind of flowered queens. I'll show you one of these. Stop that thing a minute. I'll show you a queen, only one of the crowns.
Where is it?
I'm going to have to make it up. It's right here.
Oh.
Oh, there's both of them. I won both of those crowns.
Is that right?
That's...
Huh. Now, is one of these you?
That's right after we were married.
Oh.
We were... That's her sister.
Uh-huh.
And we had a double wedding.
Oh.
20th of October, 1917, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Is the world going that long ago?
She's the one that lives
there in Jackson.
Huh.
But that's what I was showing you about those crowns. You know, she fixed them up out of some of the crowns we got for prizes in riding. Tournaments.
Wasn't that something?
Hey, you ever see how to work a tournament?
No, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, to begin with, you make three arches, which are about 8 or 10 feet apart, those holes in the ground, 8 or 10 feet apart, and then you put a piece, join them together at the top, plainly or fancily, and make them arch up there, whatever you want. And they're set, I'm guessing some of this, about 30 yards apart in a row. And then we have what they call a hanger. I can show you one of them out here, and the lance too, that you put a little ring into. And you ride on a horse, full tilt. He's got to run 80 yards in about 10 seconds. And not that fast, but you got to go fast. And you try to pick those rings off. And the ones who can, you each get you get a try ride, then you get three rides at about an inch or inch and a quarter ring.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ones that continue to take the rings will charge in at smaller rings. And that's the way you weed out your poor riders.
Oh.
And the one that takes the most of the smaller rings is the winner of the tournament. And the others would be graded on down just according to the rings it took.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course some of them get left out. I've been that much too. But I remember the time that I had to did win at the tournament. I was the only one that got three little rings in one ride that wouldn't slip over that little thing. But we saw now that's not much. But up at St. Mary's tournament one time there was two riders that when they got to those half inch rings, they had to ride for 11 times. So 33 of those little rings before either one of them dropped the ring. That's I guess it's the best. That's the best piece of riding on record. I mean, the best that ever I saw was this color.
Mm-hmm.
But then they got to ride and practice and a lot, and they got to be good too.
Mm-hmm.
But it used to be good sport. I've driven as far as 15 or 16 miles to get to a tournament, and so I could ride there and horse and go to those. That wasn't too bad. You didn't know any better.
Well, then you crowned the girls.
I never crowned the first tournament that I ever rode at. Don't know if I didn't win a crown. And then her sister was there, so she wasn't there, so I crowned her sister. And the only other time I didn't crown her, I crowned her daughter. Catherine down the crossroads tournament.
Mm-hmm.
She felt that high.
Nothing pleased her on this.
I guess so.
That's their own stone.
Uh-huh. Huh. Well, now, had you ever heard of a big party or a picnic that the farmers would go to in the rocks? It was a big event, you know, entertainment and stuff. Well, have you ever heard of that?
Yes, they still do it.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were over the rocks this summer for it's at the 4-H camp.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? We've been
you
over there a time or two, but we haven't been over there lately.
Mm-hmm.
But they hold that. I don't know if it's the Grange. You know that they cook the. Meat to cook They were cooking right there. I just boiled chickens over the fire. And then they served a lot of suppers there.
Mm-hmm.
I think Captain Milton was there or something. We haven't been there for several years.
Mm-hmm.
Then
we have our family picnic over there soon.
Yeah.
We all get together and take our basket of lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, years back, right there, you know the road down this way to Forest Hill?
Mm-hmm.
You know what used to be Stokes' old mill, the old mill?
Mm.
On your left.
Oh.
As you cross, just before you cross the first stream between, after you leave Garrettsville, going down on the road, going down to Forest Hill this way, not the new road over there, but to go right into Garrettsville and turn left and then go right to Forest Hill. Down there used to be what they call the old reunion grounds. It's right there in the development now. But where the big Cooktown church is, the big stone church on the way to Forest Hill, the back there. You know that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Where that is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where they used to have the reunion there. What was it, 8 churches used to get together there?
Mm-hmm.
And they'd have a service in the morning, and a lot of people would just go there and even just wander around and visit and so on. But that was held every year for a long time, before I remember, and I don't know how long since it quit. It
took our lunch,
yeah. Yes, it was an annual picnic for a lot of people. That's how we told you all about the tournament, didn't we?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Mm-hmm. In the high school. I was wondering too about, were most of the people that lived around Jerusalem farmers, or was there some,
This was a farming area. There wasn't much of any manufacturing or anything around here. Some of them were carpenters. And then the creamer down here was run, and there was Eggleston store and Jared Brothers and Ward store, and the store which was later Dalton, and Waters' store. That was about, and Waters' store used to be a blacksmith shop years before.
Hmm.
And the blacksmith shop up here, and that's about all the business enterprises went around here. This was a farm community. Because a lot of these places where you see houses sitting now, crops grew.
Mm.
A lot of them.
Did they do things as a community? Did they have activities, as a community?
Yes. They, for instance, anybody have to have a barn for her, the neighborhood would pile in there and help clean up, bring the wagons and stuff and haul the trash away and help them to get going for the do anything like that they could to help until it come to the carpenter stage, and so a lot of more carpenters and couldn't do anything further than that.
Was it pretty isolated from the rest of Harford County? Did you feel you were sort of cut off?
Hmm?
Did you feel you were cut off?
No. No. I think the areas in around Jerseyville, I guess what you might say, we're kind of pretty well satisfied with ourselves. They seem to get along together. They
mm-hmm.
have a baseball team. Fats and Leans, they used to be two opposing teams occasionally, and they used to play baseball over in this field over here where the furniture store and all that stuff is,
uh-huh.
was our pasture field.
Hmm.
And there's the they played, had ball games there on Saturday afternoon. And they played on Sunday. We went last school ball on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But they'd be there Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And there used to be a team over Taylor. We used to compete with them. They were pretty well able to kind of take care of themselves. I mean, furnish their own amusements and,
mm-hmm.
and so forth like that. And they went to church on Sunday nights too. That's an unheard of thing now. Because that took up part of your time.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to keep a digness in anything you want to. No, because I mean, maybe you can think of something that I can wander around about, but I'd be glad to do anything. But we're enjoying sitting here listening to you and talking to you, so you're not bothering us. You can think of anything.
Well, and what about the fire department getting organized? Do you remember how that was done?
Yes, sir. I'm the only original fireman living.
Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been going on over 50 years.
Mm.
I think last year, a year ago, was its 50th anniversary.
Mm.
And that, not because I had it, but that's been a wonderful organization for this community. They've had 100 and some fire calls in 1980s, didn't Jack say? Fire calls and field fires, and a lot of them have been chimney fires. Some of a lot of people, you know, have put in wood stoves,
mm-hmm.
save the oil and stuff, and some of us have set the chimneys on, and they get the wool in there. But they've been very busy. And I mean, they've got hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of, or thousands of dollars worth of equipment down there. And they got four fire engines, a couple of ambulances. It's been a growing thing. It's been well supported. And they used to have a big carnival there, but I believe most of kept up by donations.
Mm-hmm.
Who was it? I'm telling you this kind of off the hook now. But I'm trying to think of somebody. We were down to Marvin Merriman, that's down where that's the husband of her sister.
Mm-hmm.
And a fellow from Bel Air came up there to see them, to try to sell them a car.
Mm-hmm.
And they had just ordered, they'd had an old Ford truck there a long time that he used for firing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were selling that and buying another better equipped engine. And they brought up the subject of saying, let us show you fellows up here this engine. So that other girl's husband, who's since
mm-hmm.
gone, was the undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
Told him, go up to Mark Kurtz and talk with him. He's a guy who likes to fight cars. I mean, he always, when he was out on the farm, I mean, he was getting wet bags and putting it over this and that, and he was a good firefighter. And then we stopped up there and talked to him. I believe Jesse Butler, who had just died just a couple of weeks ago down to Maryland Nursing Home, and talked over the thing, and then a bunch of us got together and had a meeting, and just started out, and we bought this old engine from Bel Air for $600.
Mm.
And we took it on a couple of cars, you had water, and you put some kind of, I don't know what, in to make it to fume up and pressure,
mm-hmm.
explosive, or you fill this stuff in water and make a big steam. And that's the way to put the pressure on the hose for that thing. And then it wasn't very long before we raked up money enough to make a payment on a Seagrave's engine. And it was a good engine. And it carried 100 gallons of water.
Hmm.
And from that, our fire company grew. And then we got going, and right across the road from the restaurant and Henderson's electric gas place down here, there's a little building that's right down over the bank there. That was our first, and the beauty shop's in there too. That was our first firehouse.
Hmm.
And then it just kept growing, and that old hotel was torn down. They got that ground and built the building that they have there now. And they built that a couple times, and they've got a lot of equipment there now. That was the beginning of the fire company.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Church was, he was chief of the outfit for a good many years. So it's right in there.
Mm-hmm.
And there with us.
Mm-hmm. Did people around here, were they pretty good at keeping up with new technologies and as new things like the car and the electricity and stuff? Were people pretty receptive to get these things?
I think so. Generally, most everybody was, because when they want to talk about it, if anybody suggests something that was good, they usually fall for it. Sometimes there's some dissenters, but I think it's a good neighborhood to get anything done for the common good.
Mm-hmm.
I think the town itself speaks pretty well for that. Pretty well supplied with most things that they need.
Do you remember when they got electricity up here?
Yeah.
What was that like?
They had electricity straight through the town for a while, coming from Belen and straight up there. I know when it came up this way, just about time Hoover was inaugurated. How long ago has that been?
28?
I don't remember. Don't you remember? We were upstairs in bed with the flu. Jack was down here, a little fellow, and the boy that was raising to keeping track of him.
Uh-huh.
When they got the electricity in time for us to see the inauguration.
Yeah.
And that's how long the current's been up this road.
Uh-huh.
Then of course it stretched out both ways, but that's when we first got it.
Hmm.
It was great stuff too.
Did that change the way you farmed?
No. Or it made more. We could go in the cow stable and snap on a light and have plenty of light instead of hanging over the lantern up there that you had to peep around and see which cow you smelled.
It was mighty nice in the home.
Yes, and of course we just kept getting things like sweeper and more lights and had more lights put in. And just kind of grew with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. What about the telephone? Do you remember getting that here?
Yeah, I do. I was just a kid. Wasn't that big? Because I remember Now that's going back to the old Maryland telephone. You ever hear anybody mention the old Maryland telephone?
Yeah.
Well, the old Maryland telephone exchange was here. Do you know High's store, West High store here in the village?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was Jesse Taylor's home. And the old Maryland telephone put a exchange in there, the top of it on a stand. I don't think there's any more room on it than that music box has there.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the first Maryland exchange was. That was before the CNP brought them out.
Hmm.
Now, I don't know, you see, it's been over 80 years ago, because I'm 86,
mm-hmm.
and I was smaller than that, because I remember traveling around watching the men some falling down cellar steps.
Yeah.
So I don't believe if I was 6 years old, I don't believe I'd fall down cellar steps. Really, so I'm just guessing at that, but it's been more than 80 years since the Maryland telephone came here.
Hmm.
Now, I don't know just how soon the other, how long that was here, how long ago. But then the next exchange was down there in what called the old hotel, which is gone there. It was on the corner there where the fire company is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's then it was moved from there up to a house where it is. And that's not up there now, but where it moved to was up there where I told you this cousin lived. She was an old Jacksonville resident too.
Mm-hmm.
Right across the road there from this brick bungalow where I told you used to be the school.
Mm-hmm.
Right in that house there. The exchange was there for years.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was there until you know where they moved it now down towards Forest Hill. It's been there.
Could you call anywhere or just in the Jarrettsville area?
Well, you used to, if you got out of your own exchange, what you had to pay something. We used to have to pay to Bel Air.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. And, I mean, we'd call, after the same people, we'd call Bel Air and Baltimore. But then it was all, everything was paid. Of course, we have to pay to Baltimore now, but we have a lot more service now than we ever had before.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Then we had a good telephone go like this. Times up. You ever seen one of them?
I'd seen them. I'd never used one. I'd seen them.
Well, we shut the thing off, man. But we had him to this long shaft cart where he couldn't kick us.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got balky, stopped. So I took one of these old Maryland telephones you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
and fastened it right under the seat, right back of me.
Mm-hmm.
And when he'd balk on me, I reached down and cranked that thing, and I ran wires out under his harness,
mm-hmm.
and he'd give him a shock. and he ducked and ducked across the road that direction until he kicked. But we can get him going. So that's what we used that old Maryland telephone for. Then we used to shock somebody else with it. Put a couple handles on it, give the one and let somebody. Now you won't turn it easy hard, will you? Oh no, we won't turn it hard. Turn a little bit and first thing you know, get what you got. Remember up to a church meeting here one night, we give it to the preaching boy. And we give him a shot. He says, Jesus Christ! right out of the church.
Well, that was making on you boys.
That was having Jacob. They were gone before you came around.
I know.
Before you even
were,
came to church. So. Yeah.
I wouldn't do that. I'd have been here.
I can hear him yet.
It's been pretty bad.
Ladies' Aid Society at the church. Yeah, they have a meeting and they'd have a program and everything and so, and then something to eat. So we had to have a little diversion.
Well, now, do you remember much about the Prohibition times when you could? That was,
They never sold liquor close around here, mm-hmm. but
were there stills and things around here?
Oh yeah, they said there were. I never saw one. I was out one time on a fire call in the woods far, and I saw where the old still was. Still was there,
mm-hmm.
but they find it. One man they said he used to make it in his cellar. Burn coke in the stove. I think they didn't make any smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Made and sold there. There was liquor floating around there, but you couldn't find out anything about it. If you didn't use it, you couldn't find it.
Mm.
I know there was one from up the road there, 2 or 3 miles, but they locked him up for a while.
Mm.
One rainy Sunday, someone come down here, and they were working on this road, then not the road that they built this side. Before this one, the concrete, it was all torn up, and the fella fell off his horse out there in the rain, and I went out there and got him. I couldn't get him up, and I put a raincoat over him, and then he had a quart jar of stuff just like water. I said, "Bill, where'd you get this stuff?" He says, "That's all right." he would tell me where he got it. You couldn't find out where it's going. There was plenty of evidence of it around. I mean, the stories of habitual drinkers.
Mm-hmm.
But I never saw any of it. I got my first drink. Take that. I'll get it for a soon.
Well, now what about World War I? Did you feel an effect of that here? I mean, were there things in short supply, or did you make things, you know, to give to the soldiers?
Well, let me talk to you a little bit. Do you want to run everything? I can't. You were the things in short supply.
Yeah. Did you have things? Or
Well, I can repeat this. I mean, you just wouldn't want to hear us mumbling here.
Oh, that's okay. Come on.
And, you know, sugar. We used to use molasses. We couldn't get enough sugar. And
different things we couldn't get, of course.
Because when you were on the farm, you were in better shape than the person who bought everything. Didn't have anything. But we couldn't get sugar. I know they'd check up on you. You know, somebody came to Uncle Sink's home one time, stayed for supper. I thought that he was kind of coming around and checking up, see whether they're observing the things that they were supposed to observe.
Mm-hmm.
But, did
some of your products that you made on the farm, did they use them? You know, a lot of times you would take what you used, and some of the produce would be sent over, you know, for the soldiers and things.
Wheat was the thing that they wanted a lot.
Mm.
And it went up. I don't remember what the price, how high it went, but it grain prices were higher than the wheat was particular, because I think it shipped better than some of the stuff making. Of course, they used to make flour, make bread. I just recall different things. I know, because I was plenty old enough, because I remember my brother going into the farm. Right out here on the hill. And if you want to turn that thing on, I mean, it's okay to Anything you want to hear, anything
okay,
you want
yeah,
to hear, but I was out there talking to my father, and I said, well, I was going to serve, so he wasn't very well, and I was the only one that was working here. Of course, he could pick up the pig out. He said, well, what's going to come with us? They come with us if you leave. So I didn't say anymore, and my brother, he goes home and told him, so if they can stay here, I was more use there than there was where he was.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't gone there yet, but he went over in the Royal Air Force. He got to be a flight commander and shot down 5 Germans and got shot down himself towards the end of the war.
Mm.
He wasn't hurt. He wasn't in jail too long. He carried some lead to his grave. He was home in 18. As soon as the war was over, they were let out. He wasn't lying down.
Hmm.
Anything you want to quiz me about that I can tell, because I mean, I can't think just to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
If I can help you.
Well, now, I'm sort of curious, did you have more of an interest in the farming than your brothers did?
They weren't interested in the farming at all.
Oh.
They weren't home. Mm-hmm. I found the sheriff. When I was farming, when my father was living, he furnished fertilizer and feed, and I furnished the labor and so on. And we divided that way. Then I did some after my mother died. My mother died at 40. Then I took the whole everything, and I bought the place and I was on my own.
Now, why did you, what appealed to you so much about farming? What appealed to you about farming?
Well, I don't know. I always said I was going to be a farmer, and I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to go to school. No, I didn't want. I've been on here ever since I was 15. And, I liked to work, and I liked horses. I used to ride a lot, and then I got bigger and more and more. I used to go fox hunting a lot, and enjoyed that was my sport. And she used to be afraid I'd get a hurt and fall, but she never said anything about it. She kept quiet. She said if I liked the fox hunting, go on fox hunting. Just hope it wouldn't break my neck, I guess.
Was that
very pleasant, him being there riding like that, me home here thinking about him, worrying about
him. You're telling me all of that.
Well, I'm worried about you.
Were there a lot of people? Was that a big thing? I mean, I used to see, they used to have hounds and stuff. Is that how you did it? Or?
Yeah. I went over here to the hunt club. You see, they had a big organization over there. They were all done. It had to be rough to do like you did, to maintain that place just for that, keep a bunch of men working there, and keep those hounds and keep horses for the huntsmen and so on. But that, they liked the farmers to come in with it because, they couldn't ride if they didn't have some farm property to ride over.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to keep it in well with the farmers. But today, I used to love horses and ride horses anyway, and then over there, if you get in over there in the hunting and get the hounds to strike the fox and take off. Everybody would be hightailing it after the hounds, and you come up to a good big fence stand like that, and your horse jumped it and cleared it on the other side, and you got out still with your horse. That was a thrill for me for that. But I haven't hunted since 45. I'm too old now. I guess I hit the ground now, and my bones would break instead of bouncing, wouldn't it? But I've had a fall. It used to be while my horse was green, but in the fourth hunt I'd get a fall. Maybe he'd made a mistake at the fence, and we'd land together on the other side. Mm-hmm. But I never really got hurt there.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you have to go? Let's say you had your horses on your farm, and then cows. Did you have cows?
Well, turkeys. We used to raise turkeys to 500 or 600 of them. Then we dressed 200 or 300. Mm-hmm. Put them on the market to dress. And we kept chickens too. Had as many as one time, 700 chickens, laying chickens.
Mm-hmm.
Sell the eggs, gather the eggs and clean them up and grade them and put them in. It was work, all plenty of overtime.
Let's see. And then you had, I guess when you first started farming, you didn't have the mechanical kinds of things that you do now.
No. I think we got our first tractor in 23. But the earlier had the horses, did everything with the horses. All of your produce to and from the railroads, or market, and hauled your fertilizer and lime home with your horses.
Mm.
Did your plowing and all worked with the harvest.
Mm.
With the horses.
Mm.
It was, had a good exercise. Kept the meat off of you.
And what about did the Farm Bureau or the extension agents, would they come around to help you?
You could win the county agent, but I don't know how. I was farming a little while before I had a county agent. It used to be in winter time that they'd have a farmers would gather together, prearranged, and they'd send out a couple of men from University of Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd come here and meet you at a meeting at the town hall, which used to be where the church parsonage is down there now.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them would talk on one line of topics, and then they could quiz him for the benefit of his knowledge and so on. The other one would be on another branch, Darien or something like that. We used to have them. That's, I know it's 65 years at least. We can go back to here and then.
Mm-hmm.
Then since the county agent, you could make use of their knowledge. If you had to take it to them, either when you go there with your problem. So that's about as much extent. Extend to that, but I'll call them once in a while now. Call the new woman, make some kind of spray for some certain job.
Mm-hmm.
They've always been back to a lot of people. Hap Carroll, he never happened, he's been around Bel Air long.
Mm-hmm.
See, Hap was in there a long time. Mm-hmm. Derek,
Did you have real bad winters? I mean, with lots of snow?
Not late years, but we have had the winters now are different. We don't have the weather like we used to. Hear. It's cold, you know. We had a cold winter this one, but we had a lot of snow. I remember one New Year's Day I was hauling wood and had a pipe of furnace in the cellar and throw the wood down the wood chute into the cellar.
Mm-hmm.
New Year's Day it was dark looking, stormy looking. By God, that night it snowed, it gave us a big snow, and we had sleigh for a month. But then, which you can't have now to clean the roads up, because there wasn't nothing dirt roads.
Mm-hmm.
And a sleigh was like the only way you could get around. There's the old sleigh up on the wall there that we used to pull around. And they had plenty of sport then.
Well, now, would you ever go down? Did you ever go down to show or to anything at the Bel Air, Harford County Fair?
Yeah, I took some horses down there one time before. I took a mule colt and a young mule and another horse, a riding horse. And then I had a horse down there that showed one time, a jumping show. But I never did too much of that. I would like to fox hunt rather than just a horse show. Just run around jumping a few, you know how to work at a horse show. Jump a few fences here and see how much you knock down and get scored for how many clear jumps you make. I was always more interested in riding after the hound. That's where I spent most of my off time.
Mm. What do you think about all the growth that we've seen in this area?
Sir?
What do you think about all the growth and things that have changed in this area? Has it changed a lot?
Oh, my. I just wonder sometime where the farmland is going to come from.
Mm.
You see so much of it built over. Where the produce goes is all like ground raised. I mean, where did it used to go?
Mm-hmm.
It went someplace, went on the market. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know how. Of course, I think we raise a lot more per acre than we ever used to back in the old days when we had a big growth. And I think the crops are near zero. Let's take care of part of it. I guess it's a limit though of what they can produce.
Had you known Mary Ristow?
Yeah.
What do you remember about her?
I remember she was in live wire. Hustler. Yeah. Right down where the old brick house was, where the church was built. The new place that's built down here, the restaurants and all that. Her first cousin was right there, she used to visit. Then when she got older and got into politics, We always supported her. I mean, she was a hustler.
Mm-hmm.
She had an unusual record when she went to House of Representatives, then she was senator, then she went back into House of Representatives again, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm pretty sure she did. Yes, she was friend of most people. And yeah, I like her. Do you know her?
We weren't able to interview her, and so people around that I, you know, that knew her, I tried to see, you know, find out a little more about, see, you know, what people remember about her.
Yes. She helped some people get the scholarships at college. A lot more for other people know that sometimes than she did for herself. She was a good representative.
Are there other people that you can think of around Jarrettsville that I might should go see and try to interview for this?
Well, my cousin I was talking about it, but, you know, I told him the lady I was talking to yesterday, but I think she would talk to you, said all she could tell you is around Jarrettsville. I mean, they could, you know, she couldn't tell you anything about farming or anything like that. It wouldn't be much trouble to find out this. And I think she would agree to it. If you approach her. I guess we're about the two oldest ones around here, so. She's 2 years older than I am. I guess we're about the two oldest ones around here.
Is she older than you?
Yeah. Age doesn't help your brain, maybe, sometimes. You hear some of that stuff, but you run it off, and you might be surprised.
Well, you seem to be a real character.
Huh?
You are a real character. Is that what people say about you? When I was coming to interview, they said, oh yeah. You know, he's a real character. He's a real live wire, like what you said.
Well, just don't call me anything any worse than that. It's all right.
So I guess you were always like that. Was he always like that?
No. Yeah.
Was he always like a live wire?
Pretty much so. He was lively enough.
Well, she's like, I tell her sometimes, you're a darn fine girl.
That's all I tell her.
Is that right?
Well, if you tell her that and she lives up to it, I'm lucky, isn't it?
Is it hard being married for 60 years?
You're just getting used to it.
I
two of us at this age can live here and look after one another. Now, Jack will come over and help us out. We're getting a piece in time. And Catherine, the daughter, I mean, she'll come down here about one day a week, and she'll break up the stone, put them in the freeze box, and so on, which is a big help to us. But she can still control the reins around the kitchen. I mean, I'm not bragging, I'm just grateful. Because two people that age are in good shape as we are, we're just lucky.
You have a lot to be thankful
for. Well, it's really nice meeting you. May I take your picture?
For our...
So everybody can see what you look like?
Oh, my.
Oh. Oh, that's pretty bad.
That made me just as well.
Now he's going to